Welcome to C.S. Joseph Podcast, Confessions of an ENTP Edition. I'm your host, C.S. Joseph, naturally. Enjoying my winter fare this time, snow on the ground. And greetings from the north, the far north of the United States of America. As the voice calling from the north. So, yeah, earlier today, I had the opportunity of being humbled, actually, by a very close friend of mine. And with it came a very big lesson about expert sensing a demon. What's up? So, and I just figured, you know, yeah, I'll share it with the audience, because sometimes it's always good to do these episodes and try to give people the opportunity to learn more about themselves. I think ENTPs are quite underrepresented on the MBTI blogosphere. And while many of them like making content like Dave Powers or Lamb Sauce, etc., shout out to both those gentlemen. The only gentleman that, in terms of like actually creating content to move Jungian analytical psychology forward, that have my respect from the perspective of their dedication to accuracy and their dedication to pioneering the science, which I think is excellent. So yeah, not a fan of Huberman. Sorry, Pierre. Not a fan of that guy. Actually, my sleep cycle is my own. It is consistent. So, yeah, my sleep cycle is consistent. But yeah, but the lesson that I learned from expert sensing demon is basically like that I'm bad at it. You know, I've been talking a lot about in the members area. Through my lectures, talking about the internalization and externalization of cognitive functions. And just because you have an extroverted function does not mean it's entirely internalized. I often use the ESTJ extroverted sensing critic example to demonstrate this point, which is basically extroverted sensing critic is very critical of other people's performance, but it's, and to the point of being hypercritical of other people's performance, including how they dress, how they look, how they come off. Other people's experience. Because that's what expert sensing is. Other people's actions, being critical of other people's actions. But another aspect of expert sensing critic is that ESTJs are also hypercritical of their own personal performance and how they come off to other people, etc. So it's an internal projection as well as an external projection. This is internalization and externalization of cognitive functions. And obviously, demon functions are no different. Or take an introverted sensor, you know, making themselves comfortable, et cetera, versus, or, you know, keeping themselves safe, as well as being sensitive to the safety and comfort of others to a point, you know, externalization of an introverted function. So cognitive functions have internalization and externalization attributes to them, basically. And, you know, cognitive projection as a concept actually represents both. Cognitive projection is kind of like defined from a psychological perspective as we give the thing to others that we seek the most from others, essentially. And that's the basis behind internalization and externalization of cognitive functions, regardless if it's an introverted function or an extroverted function, basically. So extroverted sensing demon is no different. Extroverted sensing demon has like a lot of interesting attributes to it. For one, attribute that extroverted sensing demon actually has is obviously it can come off very brash, very harsh, very creepy, very intimidating to other people, and very off-putting to others. The thing is that it's kind of a projection, because introverted sensing in theory, when it aspires, it gets super, super strong and it can take a lot of hits. And so because of the extroverted sensing demon ends up having an expectation rooted in introverted sensing inferior when it aspires, where the SI inferior type, the ENTP or even an ENFP, is very, very hyper invested in their own personal strength and their own endurance, basically their ability to endure, their ability to persevere, that what ends up happening is that they end up pushing that or projecting that onto other people. And that projection comes out through extroverted sensing demon, where it's like, okay, I am projecting onto other people my ability to endure, my ability to take abuse, my ability to persevere, my own personal strength, my own stamina, my own fortitude. And extroverted sensing demon types end up projecting this onto other people. So like, for example, Chris Taylor, he has extroverted sensing demon. He told me a story about his job one time where he was training an INTP who has SI child, and training this particular person on a task. And he has such high strength and such high endurance as a person that he's able to, you know, get through, you know, that specific task in his way. However, from that perspective, ended up overwhelming the INTP. And they couldn't deal with it. And it's basically his extroverted sensing demon holding this INTP to a standard of endurance, the same standard of endurance that Chris had for himself, right? And I often fail as an ENTP with extroverted sensing demon in this way, where I have this insanely high expectation of other people being able to endure as much as me. And it can be pretty off-putting to others. It can be pretty alienating to others, actually. On one hand, some people are like, okay, nice that you are proving your feats of strength there, Chase, but then they end up feeling bad and they think it's like, you know, and then that's deadly sin of envy coming out, where it just becomes an effort dick comparing contest, comparing effort dicks, basically, and that ends up becoming a serious problem over time. And so it can come off that way, or it just can end up exasperating other people. And that's the thing that extroverted sensing demon actually does to people. It exasperates them. It absolutely exasperates them. And we have this problem where we cause exasperation in other human beings. And it really just stems from cognitive projection. We're projecting our own endurance onto other people. And we end up getting to a point where we're so arrogant that we actually expect other people to be able to perform at that same level of endurance, that same level of fortitude that we have. And it's wrong. It's actually wrong. And that is extroverted sensing demon in its demonic form, basically. But there's other expressions of it as well, you know, where it's like, you know, we as expert intuition hero through SR inferior, because we've endured so much, because we've persevered through much, we end up, you know, supercharging our expert intuition heroes basically to be able to create pathways for other human beings to follow, other sets of choices for other people to follow. And this gives us the ability to have this very large wealth of knowledge and ultimately wisdom over time. You know, I've always said on this channel and on the podcast, like, hey, I can't comfort somebody into wisdom, right? But at the same time, when I make that statement, I'm also being a hypocrite, because I am oftentimes taking away the opportunity for other people to learn that wisdom, because expert intuition hero is coming in to save the day and give other people better choices and ultimately a better future. Hey, if you walk XYZ path, you know, you'll move ahead like 10 years in your life, etc. But then again, as this person who was criticizing me earlier today basically informed me that I'm actually harming people in the process. And they said, you know, hey, when you're trying to alter someone's future, when you're giving them their balloons and candy with your extroverted feeling child and giving them a better future a better future and a hope with your expert intuition hero. You know, sometimes it's like you're giving a child a loaded gun because they didn't learn any of the harsh lessons that go along with the life experience. And basically, I become a shortcut dealer where I'm offering people shortcuts, essentially. And this is what INTJs love. They love them sure shortcuts, especially INTJ women in my life. They sure love them, their shortcuts. In fact, they actually use me as a source of shortcuts consistently. There's actually one such woman in the cartel, which is our women's group, where we are rehabilitating women into their feminine. There's one such woman recently who is an INTJ, took advantage of my ability to provide her shortcuts, basically for her to get the outcome that she actually wanted, because I have this big wealth of knowledge and some wisdom to go along with it due to the suffering that I've endured in my life, basically, to be able to, you know, because I've experienced something, I could replicate that experience for other people and create a future outcome for them. That's expert intuition hero, essentially. So, and the thing is, though, is that a lot of these times people end up get used to my ability to provide them with shortcuts in their lives. And the problem is that, as it was explained to me earlier today, the shortcuts are ultimately too big. They're way too big. The shortcuts to the point where I am basically taking somebody who's like for example, I actually did this one time to a teenager, a female teenager, actually, who was 17. And then I gave her some shortcuts, basically, that a woman would learn at age 26 on average, age 26, 27 on average. And she did exactly what I said. She followed my instructions and, you know, she gained the benefit. The problem is, though, is that she wasn't ready. She was not ready for that advice. And it was like I was giving a child a loaded gun at that point. And it ended up creating a lot of negative consequences in her life as a result of that. And when you have expert intuition hero, you got to be really, really careful when you are doing these very long-term shortcut, you know, being a shortcut dealer and providing shortcuts to people. Because the reality of the situation is that, like, from an extroverted intuition hero perspective, you can give them this alternate future that's better. You can give them the shortcut to a better outcome. But then when they actually get there, they're kind of flimsy. It's like they don't even have much substance to them or an identity. They just basically, I ended up giving them the quick fix, essentially. And they have no life experience or even lessons learned that typically a person would go on that journey, essentially, to be able to get those, to be able to, you know, gain that new level of status. And so because of that, it's like you're handing over opulence to someone who's young. Or it's like, here's another way of looking at it, the lottery. You know, statistically, when someone wins the lottery, they end up penniless, they end up losing their health, they end up committing suicide, or addicted to hardcore drugs and just end up ruining their life, like winning the lottery. And that's the thing about being expert intuition hero. That's the thing about being me, because I don't really know of anyone else on this planet who actually has the level of understanding of humanity other than myself. It's not to say that I don't read a lot of books and try to get what I can in the process and try to learn on my own as I continue to pioneer the science with my team, et cetera, and lead my team forward to do so. But you know, when you get to the high level of Jungian analytical psychology that I am, or the high level of gender dynamics that I am, you have the ability to fundamentally transform people's lives very, very quickly, very easily, to give them a better future. But when you give that to them as a shortcut dealer, basically, they basically just win the lottery. Lucky them, right? Lucky them, because I literally just gave them the winning lotto ticket, right? And they won the lottery, because I gave them the shortcut that they need to take to actually get to where they need to go. The thing is that they always end up penniless. People who win the lottery end up penniless because they don't have financial management skills. They don't have the lessons learned that it would take to actually generate that much wealth to begin with, right? So that ends up becoming like a big thing, you know. And but it's not, it wasn't just with like, you know, this 17-year-old. I've done that with people with all ages. It was just the most recent example. Their parents reached out to me and asked me for help. And I helped as per their request. And I provided the information. But they ended up taking that shortcut and they did it, but they didn't have the life experience behind them to be able to handle that shortcut. And it basically blew up in their face, right? So that's the thing, you know, when you're a coach like me, you got to be really careful to make sure that you're not giving too much advice or too much information over time. You know, it's just a big lesson in failure. The person criticizing me earlier today mentioned to me directly that, you know, sometimes you need to use your extroverted sensing demon to assess the readiness. You need to be able to assess a person's readiness. There's an old saying, and it's called, when the pupil is ready, the master will appear. I first heard it in the movie called The Mask of Zorro, starring Antonio Banderas. And the guy who plays Hannibal Lecter. I think they're both named Antonio. But but it's neither here nor there. That's where I first heard the saying. But basically, when the student is ready, the master will appear. But sometimes I've come into people's lives as a master, but they weren't ready. And I'd give them the teaching or the instruction or the tutelage that, to get them the outcome that they desired, basically, as a shortcut dealer. And they end up potentially in a worse off position than they were because they weren't ready to hear what I taught them. They weren't ready to hear it all. So, and even Chris Taylor has told me to my face, you know, hey, Chase, like with certain people, you need to spoon feed information. Don't just dump everything all them all at once. You know, you got to spoon feed it to them. And because they may not be ready to hear what you have to say, or they may not be in the place in their life to be able to handle the knowledge or the wisdom of which you confer upon them. This is actually very important. I mean, even Plato talked about this in his writings when he was initiated into the mystery schools, according to the old mystery Babylon religion, but basically how a lot of those secret societies would work. You know, when you start off in the secret society, you're at the bottom rank and you have to learn a few things and then pass a test, and then you can rank up to the next rank to get access to new knowledge. I mean, it's no different than when you're studying martial arts, right? You start off as a white belt and you work your way towards a black belt, right? So, and that's the thing, like, why am I giving white belts, you know, blue or brown belt knowledge? You know what I'm saying? Or in some cases, black belt knowledge. That's a very big problem. That's a huge problem because basically, again, it's like giving a child a loaded gun. You can't do that, or giving them a knife if they don't even know how to use a knife or respect a knife. And again, it just ends up blowing up in their face, right? So extroverted sensing demon has to get to a point where it turns into an angelic mode. And the angelic mode is able to assess a person's readiness. Like, are they actually ready to hear the message? Are they ready to hear the teaching? Are they ready to be given a particular shortcut? Or am I facilitating the journey that they need to walk in order to come to the proper conclusions? I mean, we recently reorganized the men's group where we're rehabilitating men and their masculinity in a ranking system. And the ranking system has a lot of the different books and resources and tasks that they have to complete, which will unlock the next rank that they get, which has certain benefits for them. If you want to get in on that, go to discord.gg/egohackers. Join the sexuality special interest group. Get educated in the sexuality special interest group. And then request access from the leaders from there to get into the nonprofit side of the Ego Hacker community. That way you can learn how to become the most masculine man or the most feminine woman as a result of that. But X-rayed sensing demons, you realize you have to understand that you have to be aware of people's readiness. And part of that is utilizing an internal projection with your extroverted sensing inferior and recognize the lessons that you yourself as an SI inferior have learned. And based on that, like, you know, oftentimes people dream of wishing that they knew what they know now in their youth. But the reality of the situation is if people did know what they know now in their youth, it would actually still blow up in their face and they would actually potentially ruin their lives in the same way as someone winning the lottery. Oftentimes you could actually argue that having the knowledge that a person has, you know, that as you're currently now, but in your youth, that would basically be you winning the lottery, but it still has the same effect. And that effect is like you turn into, you're worse off than you were before you won the lottery. That's the issue. There's even a Twilight Zone episode about this. A man dies and he ends up in this place and it's all super happy. And he's extremely happy. He's always getting the girl. He's always winning at the gambling table. Everyone loves him. He's very popular. Like everything is just starting to work out. But then after a while, he gets bored of it. And it's like there's just no challenge. He keeps winning and winning and winning, but there's no challenge to it at all. And then he asks the attendant who's basically in charge, and he's like, is this really what heaven is like? Like, really? I just keep winning and I keep winning and I keep winning. There's no challenge to it. There's no effort really to it. And then the attendant, who, you know, at first looks like an angel, basically all of a sudden looks like a demon, and then says, who said this was heaven? And that was the end of the episode. You know, that's the thing. This thing about extroverted sensing demon, you know, you have to get to a point where you accept that you can't save them all, basically. You really can't save them all. And extroverted feeling child, you know, where you have the demonic child is what people would say. The demonic child is when you're helping people and giving people with your extroverted feeling child, with influence from your extroverted sensing demon, these shortcuts, you're dealing out these shortcuts, but you're not taking responsibility for the fact that they didn't learn the hard lessons in life that they would need to learn to be able to use those shortcuts properly, to use those shortcuts wisely, to use those shortcuts in such a way where it doesn't harm other people or even harm themselves in their life. Because again, it's like handing a child a loaded gun, right? That's the problem with extroverted sensing demon. So you have to be willing to do the one thing that extroverted feeling child fears the most, which is say no. Or do the one thing that introverted sensing inferior fears the most, which is a rejection. Introverted sensing inferior really hates the concept of dejection. Dejection is when expert intuition hero in an ENTP isn't even a person's choice to begin with. I mean, that's how I grew up. I was 300 pounds when I started high school, right? I was entirely dejected. I was never, like, I wasn't even anyone's choice. Socially, not much less romantically, but I wasn't even anyone's choice, whatever, you know? I was just a loser in everyone's eyes, a brilliant loser, basically, you know, much to my own dismay. And I was an absolute, total fool, basically. Still am a fool in many ways. And I loathe my foolishness, but it is what it is. I don't claim to be wise. But the point is, though, is that, like, extroverted feeling child, you have to actually have the self-discipline to say no to people. You have to have the self-discipline to not give people shortcuts. You have to have the self-discipline to utilize your extroverted sensing demon in an angelic way, which is you assess people's readiness. And when they're not ready, you say no. Or when they're not ready, you let them fail. You actually allow other people to fail. You actually allow people to feel pain. Because SI inferior does not want to feel pain, especially in an ENFP. SI inferior in an ENFP, because soul temple people avoid pain the most, right? Whereas heart temple people are more, pain is insanely familiar to heart temple. They feel pain the most. They feel pain to the point where pain ends up becoming a friend and ally of the heart temple over time. Pain can consume heart temple in a very unhealthy way. to the point where they inflict pain on other people, but they also welcome pain at the same time, because they know that when they welcome that pain and suffering in their life, they're actually going to gain a lot of wisdom as a result, such as the way of Solomon, King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, as he denotes within his books, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Song of Solomon written in his youth. In his middle years, he wrote Proverbs, and in his latter years, he wrote Ecclesiastes, basically. His entire, you can just see how he's grown as a man throughout his whole life, you know, from that point of view, if you read them in that order. And that's like the main point. You have to, as an ENTP, be willing to assess other people's readiness, and you have to allow other people to fail. It's not that you're setting them up for failure. Here's the thing, though, like, the golden pair of the ENTP is the INTJ, and the INTJ hates being set up for failure the most. But if you give the INTJ all the shortcuts that they claim that they want, what you're actually really doing to the INTJ is actually setting them up for failure. And then the INTJ grows to resent you, the ENTP, their golden pair. This is likely the main reason why I've never actually been able to connect to the INTJ, because I give them too much too quickly. Especially female INTJ's perspective, where they look at Mr. Chase and be like, oh, Chase, you're too good to be true. Because it's their own internal hypergamous, solipsistic female instinct, which is related to safety and anxiety, that if they're given all the shortcuts and all everything that they would need to do to get to XYZ outcome that this particular woman would want, they have anxiety about how, you know, it ends up becoming like a fear of success. And they're afraid of succeeding, right? And they're right to fear success. They are right to, because it's like the ultimate shortcut, and ENTPs can craft the ultimate shortcut. So oftentimes ENTPs have to learn how to have the self-discipline to hold back from the INTJ, to hold back from anyone, assess the readiness, and if they're not ready, don't tell them everything. Spoon feed them, or don't tell them anything. Sometimes you just have to keep your mouth shut and let people fail, because they need to have the life lessons that comes from pain, because pain is the best teacher. And without that pain, you're potentially getting in the way of the creator's design for that particular person in their life. And that person needs a really big dose of reality in order to be able to learn. If I'm giving them a shortcut to advance their life potentially 10 years, you know, that's not really reality. And they're missing that important dose of reality that they need to be able to learn appropriately. And because of that, they're not actually growing. I'm actually stunting their growth by giving everything up to them up front. While it is idealistic with extroverted feeling child, it ends up actually causing harm entirely. And as a result, I maintain this is actually the number one reason why I don't have a romantic relationship with an INTJ. I think that's the primary reason. And like I said, for extroverted sensing demon in its angelic mode, you have to be willing to, as an ENTP with your extroverted feeling child, you have to have the self-discipline with your SI inferior to allow other people to fail. You have to allow other people to fail. And it sucks, because extroverted feeling child just wants to give people balloons and candy. It wants people to feel better. And expert intuition hero wants them to have a better future, naturally, of course. But if you end up meddling in their lives and giving them the shortcuts, or like the way to like get from XYZ point A to point B to point C, they're not learning the lessons. And it actually harms their character as a person. You know, because the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And if you're giving them the shortcut and things do go awry, they don't even know what to do. And then they're entirely dependent on you as their leader at that moment, because you're the one that gave them the shortcut. What do I do when this situation happens? See, they don't have the life experience. They don't have the lessons from failure in their life to be able to get there. So if an ENTP is in a teaching role or a leadership role, they need to be able to exercise enough personal self-discipline, enough personal patience, and be patient with human beings in their failure. And that's the point. So what ends up happening is that the ENTP needs not only practice what they preach, but be an example of what they would potentially preach to other people, be an example to others in the process. And by being an example, people can slowly get those tidbits, those be spoon-fed just being in the presence of the ENTP, basically, and listening to what the ENTP says, without the ENTP basically meddling in their life or meddling in their existence and giving them all those shortcuts, you know, to move forward, right? And that ends up becoming like a big issue. I noticed a question in the stream from Miss Iris talking about what have I done to be patient with my partners? I have been told by many people close to me over the past, I don't know, 2 decades, that I am probably the most patient person they've ever met when it comes to his romantic partners, such that where I've actually been told that I've been too patient. And recently, I learned that lesson the hardest, actually. I was seeing a woman, and I should have given her a little bit more space to fail, in that I was not really focusing on her readiness. I was more focusing on my own readiness, and I should have given her the opportunity to learn lessons from failure in her life instead of actually just always swooping in and saving her with my, you know, being the shortcut dealer and giving her all the shortcuts to get out of whatever situation that she was in, when she actually needed to learn those lessons and be able to develop her own personal character. That way she could be a better wife to me and a better mother, essentially. So no, patience is not a feminine trait. It is actually a masculine trait. It comes from introverted sensing, which is a masculine function, right? Because it is a discipline, ultimately. Discipline, okay? So that's the thing, you know, if an ENTP is trying to like get into people's lives and just be like, hey, you know, you could do this thing, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this and get this XYZ outcome, they're being undisciplined, basically. And that extroverted sensing demon is at risk of ruining the other person's life, right? Where extroverted sensing demon needs to be the angel and see if whether or not someone's actually ready to hear what you have to say. Or if they're not ready to hear what you have to say, you have, as the ENTP, have to be willing to turn off your extroverted feeling child with your TI parent and just allow the person to suffer and allow the person to learn the lessons that they need to learn so they have those lessons to move forward in their life. And if you don't give them the space to fail, if you don't give them the space to learn, if you don't give them the space to learn these lessons to become ready, then you're basically, you're failing them. As Fib would say, let them cook. And that's what I basically ended up making a decision to do. This woman that I love with all my heart and very, very dearly, I had to make the decision to let her cook, basically, and let her grow, let her fail, let her suffer the pain within her life, basically, so that she could become a better woman. You know, I even gave her an ultimatum. I gave her an ultimatum where it's like, you know, I'm breaking up with you, but my door is open to you. You can come back, provided you're willing to take a leap of faith, right? But the thing is, though, is that she had a bunch of failures that led up to that ultimatum, and I could have done a better job allowing her the space to fail as a result, because she was not ready for the shortcuts that I gave her, essentially. And I think her introverted sensing critic actually was aware of that, and that she herself needed to invest with her FI hero a little bit more into her own personal growth and her own personal effort to kind of grow herself and take on the learning that she needs from these harsh life lessons in order to better prepare herself for me in the future, basically. Because that's ultimately an aspect of the masculine. That's what a father does for a daughter. but it's also how a husband ultimately leads his wife as a result. And it really just comes down to let them cook, you know, let them cook. And that's basically, in a nutshell, the lesson that I learned today with Expert Sensing Demon. My expert sensing function was being very demonic in giving people these shortcuts and helping people basically win the lottery of life based on the suffering in my life, when I should have been more disciplined and assess their readiness ahead of time. And if they were ready, give them a small amount, you know, just one chapter ahead in the book, instead of giving them the entire book, the entire manual for success. Just give them one chapter ahead. And then if they prove to me that they can achieve that one chapter, then I give them the next chapter, then the next one, then the next one, instead of just giving them the whole book. Because the thing about introverted sensing inferior is that if you think about it, this is where the INTJ shadow of the ENTP is getting very shallow, because then I'm just giving them the entire book and saying, okay, here's everything you need to do, just read it and do it, okay, hi. You know, when reality is, most people, due to humanity's own solipsism, they want to have the, you know, or as the ENTP, Tim Ferriss says, minimum effective dose, right? I give them the minimum effective dose in teaching, and then they come back for the next lesson, and then they come back for the next lesson. But because they've completed and actually put in the effort for the previous lesson, that proves to my SI inferior that they are ready for the next one, instead of just give them all the knowledge up front, which ends up destroying my magician archetype as a man, because that means the knowledge I have is lacking containment. And while I end up giving people what I believe is nuclear energy, they're actually taking the nuclear energy that I give them and turning it into nuclear weapons. You see what I'm saying? And that's the problem. That's where my expert sensing is a demon instead of an angel. And I have to have the self-discipline to make sure that if I am going to give people advice over time, especially, you know, or even much less lead a woman, I have to be willing to be responsible to do it step by step with them. Which is funny, because it's actually Chris Taylor who told me this 2 years ago, actually. When I met this particular woman for the first time and I told him about it, and he's like, well, yeah, she's got anti-child, but here's the thing about anti-child, dude. You have to have the self-discipline to not give them everything up front. You have to spoon-feed them over time and give them small goals and just one goal at a time, because they'll either feel overwhelmed and just kind of like not do anything, or they'll lose trust in you, basically, because it's like too good to be true, or it's like you're giving a child a loaded gun. And it's funny, because that's my natural pair, and that's what my natural pair needs for me. And I will admit that I did not do that in my relationship with my natural pair, which led to some problems in her, which then led to me ultimately, breaking up with her from that perspective, and then giving her the ultimatum saying, you know, yeah, my door's still open, but you're going to have to take a leap of faith. But all of that could have been avoided ahead of time had I actually spoon-fed her information instead of just giving her all the information up front. Because then her mind is basically bereft or void of the lessons learned from doing each individual step one at a time, basically. And to be fair, it's actually really stressful to an SI inferior to be willing to stick around and guide somebody step by step. The SI inferior wants to be lazy and wants to, just give them the book, they'll figure it out, that kind of thing. Give them all the shortcuts all up front. And that way the SI inferior doesn't have to put in any effort in the person. But that's actually wrong. And that's actually expert sensing demon. That's absolutely wrong. So you can't do that. You can't do that as an ENTP. So to all the ENTPs out there, don't do what I did. Don't act like me. Do not do this to people. Because the future that you imagine yourself that you are giving, a better future that you imagine yourself that you're giving them, ultimately it's not. Like I said, you may think you're giving them nuclear energy, but you're actually giving them nuclear weapons and you have no idea. And that's the danger of the magician archetype of the mature masculine. You have to be willing to contain the advice and the guidance that you give other people. Give it to them in smaller chunks so that they can learn the lessons that go along with being on that journey. It's a little bit harder for an ISFP to do because they're so outcome oriented and they want to skip to the end. They want to skip to the outcome. Even sometimes INTJ women want to do that too, because introvert intuition hero is a problem. So, you know, like, because they always want to skip to the end, but the INTJ oftentimes doesn't even realize that just because by skipping to the end, then they end up ruining themselves in the process because they don't have the lessons that go along with the experience, the learning process, basically. So, but yeah, that's the big principle that I learned today, and it took a few of my closest friends to criticize me as a result of that. And I am very, very grateful for that. I regret giving people the whole playbook and all the shortcuts up front, and I will not be doing that. I will not be doing that further. I absolutely wouldn't do that. It's ruined many of my relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, so many in my whole life actually have been ruined by this because of my expert sensing demon when it should be angelic, basically. And as a result of that, I've often actually caused a lot more harm, unintended harm, but still harm nonetheless. And I regret that. So don't do what I have done as a result to that end. No, the shortcuts don't include the courses. Oh my God. That's the thing about paying for content, like paying, the act of making a sacrifice to gain knowledge is itself part of the learning process. Because if you're just given all the knowledge up front and you didn't pay for it, you're not going to appreciate it. So that's just the reality of the situation. You know, you need to be aware of that. So yeah, this stream is dedicated to that ISFP. I apologize for not using my expert sensing in an angelic way. I mean, I'm always willing to take responsibility for my actions. I always do. You know, oftentimes it's funny because I have friends of mine who are afraid to give me feedback or afraid to criticize me, but I've proven time and time again that I always listen. I always take it for the most part. I'd like to think that by now that I'd have a reputation with them of being able to take criticism and feedback from others and take it very well without lashing out, for example, as most people do. You know, because here's the thing, like I like to be corrected, because if you correct a fool, he'll hate you, but if you correct a wise man, he will love you. And it just makes me love my friends that much more because they're willing to correct me. There's another saying. This is actually something I said to the to Laser Gun recently. I told her like, hey, you know, wounds from a friend can be expected, but an enemy multiplies with kisses. If you have yes men in your life and just enabling you the whole time, you know, that's no different than expert sensing demon giving you all of the shortcuts, basically. Being in that Twilight Zone episode and all of a sudden you've literally created a real hell. And there's another saying, like when the prophet Isaiah visits heaven, basically, and he's given a scroll of knowledge, and he eats the scroll, he reads the scroll, and it tastes so good and it tastes like honey, but as soon as it gets in his stomach it turns sour, basically. You know, like that's the whole point of knowledge and wisdom. Like it really has to be earned and digested slowly over time. You can't just give everyone or any person everything up front, because if you do, you actually have set them up for failure. And that's ultimately what INTJs need from ENTPs. That's what ISFPs need from ENTPs. The ENTP to be patient enough to help them step by step through whatever journey that they're on, without giving up the entire journey up front. And that's the healthiest way you yourself as an ENTP man to your women, or an ENTP teacher or an ENTP coach can conduct yourself and have the self-discipline to do it and be willing to tell extroverted feeling child to just shut the hell up. People need to learn these harsh lessons on their own. And without that, you're potentially harming their future. So yeah. Anyway, are these shortcuts similar to eating the fruit in the Garden of Eden? Yeah, kind of, but the fruit in the Garden of Eden was also sexuality. Like, we went towards sexuality. Sexuality is supposed to be our graduation present from the Garden of Eden. We're supposed to train under the Tree of Life, but instead we went to the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil, which is where sexuality, the reward of the Tree of Knowledge, was sexuality, basically. And then because we engaged in sexuality before gaining the wisdom that we need to learn from the Tree of Life ahead of time, it ended up destroying the ecology of the earth, and thus the earth was cursed as a result. So a harsh lesson learned, but entirely necessary for our race, because now our race is on this journey of harsh lessons learned to teach us. And we need to be that example to future generations. Because the truth is that when the student is ready, the master will appear. I'm not much of a master if I give a person, a student who is not ready, all of the information up front, only for them to have that information blow up in their face. Because again, it's like giving a child a loaded gun. You can't do that. And I have to take full responsibility for giving people a loaded gun. So anyway, folks, that's it for this live stream. Thank you all for watching and listening. And I'll see you guys next time. Good night.